Welcome to another edition of the Mojo Break Dugout Session. Cody with you alongside me, as always, is Doug. And we are now into the championship series. As we record this today, the Rays with a commanding 2-0 lead. The Dodgers and the Braves just getting underway. The Braves winning a tight one in Arlington, Texas last night. The first game in front of fans all season, Doug. You know what? Despite everything, it was a nice sight to see actual fans cheering for baseball in a stadium. I feel like I had forgotten what it sounded like, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it felt like it was a long time coming, and it's. I think we got used to having no fans, so maybe it brings a little bit of normalcy to the game of baseball, and maybe next season we'll be somewhat back to normal, hopefully.
Yeah, we'll see, hopefully. And I did see my favorite meme of the night from that. Of course, the Cody Bellinger staring off into space has now become the new baseball meme of choice. I think someone said, wait, when did the cardboard fans become real-life people with Cody Bellinger's face? So I enjoyed that. So, but it is Dodgers and Braves and the Rays and the Astros. We're going to talk about that. Talk about some of the players to be keeping an eye on, some of the guys who have already started to make waves in the hobby. One guy in particular, maybe the most surprising guy for the Tampa Bay Rays. We're going to talk about him shortly. But first off, let's talk about the latest release for this week. It is Topps Gold Label. A lot of great autos, a lot of great looking cards in here, a lot of great relics for collectors, Doug.
Yeah, I mean, if you can kind of compare it to Transcendent on a budget, in a sense, because it's a lower-end price point. You're guaranteed one auto per box, and they're gold-framed autos with on-card autos. And you got your Luis Robert chase. You got Bo Bichette. You've got, as you can see here, pictures of Ichiro. Lots of vet chances. And it's just a fun set, fun little quick break. 16-box case break. So if you're joining one of our breaks at MojoBreak.com, you get your team for the entire case. And there is parallels of the base cards and numbered base cards as well to chase, as well as some super rare like gold pieces in a card, which is pretty cool. And it's always a kind of a staple. It's one of those retro kind of designs that's transformed into the modern baseball with autographs. And it's a really fun set, especially your player collector. Having that gold framed on card auto is beautiful.
Yeah, absolutely. A great looking card. Yeah, like you said, a classic look. Mm-hmm. And with the baseball season wrapping up, just something nice to whet the appetite as we enter the off season very shortly here. But let's talk about the here and now. Let's talk about the playoffs. And we have moved on to the championship series, and we have moved to our new bubbles, the Arlington series, that is the NLCS, the Braves and the Dodgers. A pitching duel there for both of those teams. I think most surprisingly, the Braves, how good the pitching has been for them. A lot of young guys, a lot of guys who were drafted high early in the drafts for them, and Max Fried, a guy who was acquired in a big prospect swap a few years back, has really come into his own in this series. Looked great in game one. And then as for the ALCS, a very lopsided matchup on paper with the Tampa Bay Rays, clearly the best team in the American League, versus the Houston Astros, who for all purposes just the villains of baseball right now, an under 500 team getting into the postseason as they're playing in San Diego. And 7 games in a row, by the way, potentially.
Crazy.
For this. Now we don't have NBA Finals anymore. That is all wrapped up. NHL is all wrapped up. We are kind of back to some normalcy.
You may have a football game every day, though.
There is, now there's that new wrinkle where we got Tuesday night football. So, so who knows? But there is at least a little bit of normalcy here in the sports schedule. Do you think, though, what is Major League Baseball, thinking about these matchups? To me, Tampa Bay in Houston is a matchup, if that's in the ALDS, that's the one that's on at 12:30
exactly
on TBS. You know, no disrespect to TBS and no disrespect to those teams, but clearly those are not the teams I think that baseball is looking for here to sell the sport.
Yeah, I mean, a couple things. First off, I have a Max Fried from 2012 that I pulled for myself that I got graded. It's a 9.510. It's a gold refractor, nice, numbered to 50. I think after the show, I'm going to go get it. I'm going to sell it because it might be the best time to possibly sell his card.
Yeah, he looked fantastic last night. He looks great right now for the Braves.
Yeah, he was his cards. He's on the Padres, what he was drafted by. And, it was such a long time ago that I pulled that card, 2012. So now he's kind of finally getting in the news and, doing well. I mean, I know he did well all year, but now he's on the main stage. So, but as far as the matchup is concerned, I mean, obviously baseball probably would have loved the Yankees to move on. And I know I didn't pick the Rays from the beginning. I picked the Blue Jays to beat the Rays. I picked the Yankees to beat the Rays, and the Rays are still here. So obviously that first seed, that momentum going into the playoffs is the real deal. And something has to be said about these role players on this team getting the job done. Maybe not a huge name. I know you got your Blake Snells and your Tyler Glasnows, and you got great pitching there. But, you know, the guy that we're going to mention here coming up, who's, you know, being clutch right now and getting the job done. And it makes me almost feel like my 2010 Giants, where it's just a hodgepodge of players that didn't maybe work out on other teams that are coming together to get the job done.
And, you know, there's got to be a point, too, where we have to give the Tampa Bay Rays some respect. We'll talk about them in a little bit. We're going to start with the NLCS. But there's got to be a point where we give them some respect. Since 2008, that first incredible run to the postseason, there have been very few franchises in baseball as consistent as Tampa Bay.
Mm-hmm.
They are always there. They are always in the postseason picture. I think there were maybe 3 years in the middle there where they weren't competing, but they have perfected that formula there, sort of the Oakland A's of the East, where they always figure out a new way to win. They always are right in the middle of it. And the other thing that is a little different than from the A's formula, they do a pretty good job of retaining some of those guys that become big names. I mean, Evan Longoria is no longer with Tampa, but
we traded him for Pablo.
Right. Yeah. Anyway, they were able to sign him to a team friendly deal to keep him there for most of his career and most of his prime years. So Tampa Bay not only figures it out just with different parts every year, but they also figure out the guys that are going to be fan favorites and find a way to keep them with team friendly contracts. Mm-hmm. Got to give it up to them.
Really. Yeah, definitely. So they definitely just don't get that respect. You're right. No. And now they're there, they're doing it. They've had different casts of characters through this 20-year span that we're talking about. Not quite 20 years.
About
but
15
this,
years.
Yeah, this 15-year span, different cast of characters is always competing, always up there. And that's a tough division.
Yeah, I think that's what it is they compete with the Yankees, mm-hmm. they compete with the Red Sox, and they haven't been back to the ALCS since that 2008 season, I believe. So it has been a long journey back to the third round or second round or whatever it may have been at the time to almost get back to the World Series. It was that one time and then haven't been back since. But before we get more into the ALCS, let's talk about the National League, where it is a premier matchup. The Dodgers, the team that has been the best in all of baseball this year, versus the Atlanta Braves, who Doug, I don't mean to make anyone feel old, either you or anyone listening or watching. The last time the Braves were in the National League Championship Series, I wasn't even a teenager yet. I was 11 years old the last time this team made it to the Championship Series. John Smoltz is calling the games. He was, wasn't he their closer in 2001? It's been a while since the Braves have been here. It still feels weird to even say the Braves are this far, but here they are. They're an exciting team, and I think the thing that's surprising is that they're not doing it with their bats. They were the best offensive team in baseball. They're doing it with the pitching right now. They're an undefeated team in the postseason. They're doing it with all of this great young pitching. It's always been about the pitching in the postseason. And if they can keep this up, they have a very good shot of stopping the mighty Dodgers here in the NLCS.
It is kind of a throwback to when you were playing Pokemon and they were in there with, Smoltz, Glavin, Maddox, even Steve Avery coming in there contributing. I believe they had Bedrosian for a little while.
Yep.
It's kind of like what they're doing now with some pieces. And, that was an exciting – I remember that back then they used to do that tomahawk chant. I don't think they do that as much anymore because of what we got going on in society. But, I remember I had a few close friends that were Braves fans, and, man, I hated them because they were just always beating the Giants and, going to those postseasons, and they finally got one. Bobby Cox finally got one back then.
Yeah, it was. 95 was the one that they were able to get. Mm-hmm. But, as a staple of postseason baseball – you know, going into my formative years as a baseball fan, and then even beyond that, there was really just kind of a hiccup. But here they are back there with a brand new core of a lot of star players, and clearly the Dodgers are just filled with all stars, tons of guys, Mookie Betts, Cody Bellinger, the list goes on and on and on for them. So this is definitely a premier matchup for Major League Baseball. But for the hobby, let's focus on some guys, some younger contributors who maybe have some value here going into the future. A few guys I want to mention. First off, the catcher for the Los Angeles Dodgers, Will Smith. In that first series, he had 5 hits in the, I believe, the clinching game against the Padres. And I believe he becomes the first Dodger to ever do that in a postseason game. He's 25 years old. I've got his 2016 Bowman Purple Refractors, first Bowman, right there. It sold just after that huge performance. There are a lot of really interesting young names on the Dodgers. I feel like they are kind of like the Braves of the 90s and into the 2000s, where they just kept churning out talent. You know, it's, if you don't pay attention, there's going to be 5 or 6 guys that you don't even know, and they're close to all-star level, and they're under 25. That's how the Dodgers do. But we're talking a lot about guys like Gavin Lux, even some of the young pitchers like Dustin May. But to me, Will Smith is a guy I think to keep an eye on if you are collecting Dodgers right now.
Yeah, and just make sure you buy the right one, because I think there's 17 Will Smiths in the league. So
yeah,
you know what I mean?
I was going to say, does that do anything? You've got Will Smith, obviously, the catcher. You got Will Smith, the pitcher. And then, oh, yeah, you got Will Smith, you know, the global superstar.
Exactly.
Maybe it sounds like a silly question. Does that do anything to, like, decrease the value, where it's just, like, almost the confusion?
Maybe, you know, especially if you have somebody, you know, with Christmas coming up a couple months away, where somebody's like, hey, I'm a big Will Smith baseball card collector. And then the person who's buying it for you doesn't know which Will Smith it is and buys you the wrong one.
Suddenly you have the entire series of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air Blu-ray under your tree.
Exactly. We got Carlton going on. You know, actually, we ran into this. I remember, and it wasn't as widespread because the talent level wasn't Will Smith talent level, but Matt Duffy, when he came along, there was actually a Matt Duffy on the Rays at the same time.
That's right.
That looked very, very similar to Matt Duffy, the Giants player. And there was actually some sales on some Matt Duffy Prism cards that were the wrong Matt Duffy, based on, because I think he had like a weak run where he was just tearing it up and obviously caught a little bit of hype, but it didn't sustain. But I just remember that there was like a that's the wrong Matt Duffy. You know, you got to make sure you're buying the right one.
Yeah, so make sure it's the Dodger blue Will Smith, not the one who where Will Smith the pitcher started.
Did Will Smith the pitcher ever pitch for the Dodgers?
No. Okay. Milwaukee. I think Kansas City at one point.
The Giants.
And now he's, and lo and behold, he got the battle of Will Smiths right now in the
NLCS.
Wouldn't
it be funny if they ever became like Will Smith the pitcher went to the Dodgers, and then you had Will Smith?
It's meant to be. A Will Smith to Will Smith battery is in. Yeah, the baseball gods are going to make that happen.
And Will Smith probably doesn't wear, at the pitcher, probably doesn't wear the Walker Buehler tight pants, though.
No, I don't think so. Yeah, the Walker Buehler's pants. It's not even that's the story. Doesn't even matter. We had an incredible game one, 1-1 in the 9th inning. Heroics from young players. No, let's talk about Walker Buehler's tight pants. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, he's a young man, so yeah. I mean, that's what the young guys do. They wear those jeans.
Yeah, it's true.
Dan likes to say a lot of them are preparing for a flood, because the ankles, the forbidden ankles are showing.
Yes.
But maybe, I don't know. Maybe he's a little bit more comfortable with you know, maybe circulation in the legs with the, you know, it's kind of like compression pants, right? Some people go to the gym, wear compression pants. Maybe that's his philosophy. He wants something that's, you know, and then those baseball pants, it's not like they used to make them. They're very stretchy, right? So you know, maybe he's looking at it like that.
We are so far away from the era I grew up, where it was like the Allen Iverson, like, you like 5 sizes too big jerseys, you know. Guys walking around with tall tees, where you literally had the sticker of tall tee and it went down to your ankles. I kind of miss those days in a way.
And even in crossover sports, you look at 03-04 LeBron rookies, and he's got the suit on, kind of made
giant suits at the draft.
Exactly. I mean, kind of like, I feel like Michael Jordan kind of started it.
Oh yeah.
And then you just seen these guys coming out on draft day with like a 10XL suit, and you know, it's a complete opposite now.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see if the pants make a comeback. Maybe he decides not to go with them after a loss, and also, you know, getting hounded by reporters about his pants when he lost game one of a pivotal
especially
NCS.
After you lose, you probably the last thing you want to. Well, you don't want to talk at all, right. Especially at an NLCS,
but
right?
Something as trivial as that, just like, come on, man, do your job. Do
yeah.
You, like, what's that? What is that? Anyway, let's focus on the Braves, who have so many huge names for collectors. Obviously, Ronald Acuna, Ozzie Albies. We know these guys. These are the guys that everybody has been chasing, especially Acuna, for years and years. But I think two guys I want to focus on here, specifically starting with Dansby Swanson, who I read something today that made my jaw drop. The first two rounds of the postseason, I feel like we talked a lot about Fernando Tatis and his great performances. And by the way, we didn't even talk about an incredible game two of the NLDS between the Dodgers and Padres, where it kind of felt like, here it is. Here's the moment the Padres break through, and then Cody Bellinger's home run robbing catch. Mm-hmm. Rustar Graterol's hat tip heard round the world. It was an incredible moment where you felt like the rivalry was beginning. But they are out. Fernando Tatis was the most talked about guy. Dansby Swanson had a higher wins above replacement than Fernando Tatis Jr. I know that stat is a little flawed here and there, but that kind of is an incredible stat considering the status of Dansby Swanson just a couple years ago, where I think most people had written him off as a flop, and he has completely turned it around this year. But I put up his Bowman Chrome Purple from 2015. By the way, the 2015 Bowman set, it just keeps on, like, people, I think a few weeks ago we said, here are all the guys. And then, oh, yeah, Austin Riley's there, too, who hit a huge home run last night and already is seeing his value go up. If you need any more incentive to get in on that set, if you got the means to do it. But Austin Riley had that huge home run last night. He's 23 years old. He had a really great debut last year. I think he hit 18 home runs in about just a shade under 300 at-bats. What do you think about his future, and what about Dansby Swanson, too? I know he's not the ripe young prospect he was a couple of years ago, but has he made that turn, and do you see the value going up for him as well?
Yeah, I absolutely think so, and I mean, it's going to depend on this performance, and you know, they've got that one-game lead, so I think after this show I'm going to see if I can get some more 2015 Bowman draft, because, yes, Riley, and you have you got Swanson. You have we talked about Ke'Bryan Hayes,
right,
Walker
right.
Buehler. Kyle you know, Tucker's Mr. Tight Pants is
right.
in there as well.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of guys that may be affected by what happens this year. So Swanson is a little hard because he's on the Diamondbacks in his first card, and I always hate when it's a guy that's on a card of
right.
a team he's not on. He was a first overall pick. So it's like the Diamondbacks must have seen something they didn't like, and then for the last couple of years you're kind of like, well, maybe they were right. But
right.
now he's kind of coming into it where he's maybe the face or one of the faces of the team. Obviously, it's Ronald Acuna's team, but he's maybe a close second or third at this point. So, and he's supremely talented. So he's not, you know, Mickey Moniak and Dansby Swanson were kind of like first overall pick busts. And I think Dansby's kind of disproved that theory.
Yeah, it's very you don't see it that often where a guy is the first round pick, the number one pick, and gets off to a slow start and – it's not like he's still very early in his career. I mean, he's kind of early in his career, but he had enough seasons there where you thought, well, I guess this is who he is.
Yeah.
Kind of reminds me, though, the last guy who took that turn a little later in his career, Alex Gordon of Kansas City. So if there's any proof that a guy can make that turn and become an all-star caliber player, look no further than Gordon, who, look, he's not going to be a Hall of Famer, but he just ended a 14-year career where he's going to be revered in Kansas City forever. So for Dansby Swanson, that is a very real possibility.
And one thing you also got to remember is, Freddie Freeman's leadership. I mean, the guy, and, you know, we don't talk about his cards. His card's gone up a little bit. It seems like he's so old news that people kind of forget
that's
about him.
That's a crazy one. I think, to me, that's an underrated play is Freddie Freeman, because he might be the MVP of the league this year. And he's still under 30. And you look at the numbers and you say, boy, he's putting together a Hall of Fame career right now. And if he can win it this year, I know it's a 2020 pandemic season, but he gets a ring. I feel like it's just going to keep growing and growing for him. He's got a lot of baseball left in him, too.
And you got to think, too, he's kind of the guy that got the baton passed to him, because you had Chipper Jones, who was early in his career, was part of that World Series team, and then, you know, played with Freddie Freeman. So now Freddie Freeman's kind of, you know, the last kind of piece that was kind of back in the, you know,
absolutely,
connecting you back into those 1990 teams.
Absolutely.
So, and then he, you know, he's, I'm sure he talks to Chipper. Chipper's a great leader. And, you know, he's become that, that almost like that, I know I keep bringing up the Giants, but almost like that Hunter Pence kind of leadership in that dugout.
Yeah. Yeah. No question. They've got something cooking there. And we're saying all of this, but the Dodgers saying, hi, yeah, we're the most talented team in baseball.
Know.
We still got Mookie Betts. We still got Cody Bellinger. I think this thing gets pushed to 7 as we sit here right now. There's just too much
talent.
That'd
be exciting, though.
Yeah, absolutely. There's just too much talent on either side. The Braves bats are going to wake up at some point. The Dodgers are going to wake up at some point here. The Dodgers offense has not been that great early on. That's one thing I feel like, as good as they looked, the bats have been just so far, other than that game 3 performance against the Padres. So I think look for them to wake up, although I know Kershaw is dealing with some injuries right now. He got scratched from his start as we're talking right now in game 2. So that may be an issue and a concern.
Well, and like we mentioned, I think last week, now the, you know, the Lakers, they did it. It's done.
Yeah.
LeBron's getting bashed by non-LA fans. And I think LA fans have now been – obviously defending LeBron on Twitter, but now they're moving on to who's next? Dodgers. So you see, I think there was rumblings yesterday that, oh, the Dodgers don't have enough pitching. You know, there was, you know, which wasn't even an issue. Now it's one game in and they don't have enough pitching all of a sudden. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of media focus on this team now where they're going to be having all this pressure because they're World Series win or bust at this point. You know, if they get knocked out, it's a by the Braves, it's a failure. If they beat the Braves and then lose to whoever in the AL, it's a failure.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of pressure where the Braves are like, okay, if they lose, they're like, wow, great season. You know, they're like, well, you know, we'll build upon that next season.
Yeah.
Dodgers don't have that, you know, excuse. It's been too long and been too many years that they've won the NL West to not get the job done.
No, this is World Series or bust for them. They have to do this. And yeah, now especially, you know, it shouldn't be a factor, but the fact that the Lakers win it right before you are, right as you're embarking on the same sort of journey, I think there is maybe a little bit of added pressure.
Yep.
Maybe not there at the clubhouse, but certainly I think with LA fans, they're thinking, all right, they got theirs out of the way with our 10-year drought, which for Laker fans probably feels like an eternity, is over. So it's now the Dodgers' turn to.
And you got the Rams at 4-1 for
That's
the city,
right.
too. So,
it's
I mean,
a good
you've
time.
Got. You've got a lot of things going on in L.A. right now.
Yeah, absolutely. L.A. sports right now is feeling pretty good. Well, let's move on to the team that's playing just south of L.A., the teams that are playing just south of L.A. in San Diego for the American League Championship. It is the Houston Astros, the villains of baseball. Nobody wants them there. They are under 500 going into the season, and they have just
unbelievable
been on a tear. They've got a huge chip on their shoulder. Boy, and Carlos Correa, I think, toned it down after the ALDS win against the A's. But that first round, he said, no one likes us, no one wants us here, and we're out to prove that we don't care, and we're going to be here, and you're just going to have to deal with this.
Do you think that, let's just say, because they're down 2-0 at this point,
yeah,
you think if they lose this, do some of the people give more respect to them at this point, knowing that, hey, they did it? I don't know. It's weird because they got in like on a season that wouldn't normally have gotten in, right? So it's like, but they did win two series now. So I mean, I don't know. It's like, do they if they win the World Series, does this change the narrative of what happened last year?
No, I still don't think so. I think that's I mean, maybe it helps, but there's also just the weirdness of the season and how this was always a possibility that, especially with a team like Houston, which they're undoubtedly a talented group of players, one of the best groups of talent that have been assembled over the last couple of decades, really, with Correa and Bregman and all these young players, despite the cheating scandal, they are a really talented squad. But I think that was always the fear, is that a team that maybe was sort of floundering in the regular season, they just have to get hot at the right time. And that's still always something in a regular postseason. Heck, we know that as Giants fans. There have been years where they were clearly not the best team and they end up going to the World Series.
Yep.
This was always something that was a factor. And especially for a team with so much talent like Houston, that it wasn't a crazy thought to think maybe they get hot at the right time. But they are running into a team that is the number one team in the American League. And yet, are sort of an underdog in every single series that they've played in, maybe other than that Blue Jay series. But they go into that series against the Yankees, get pushed to five games, but they were the underdog really the entire time. Win that one. Now they're not necessarily the underdog here, but they're going against a team that had been to two World Series in the last 3 years and won one of those.
Yeah.
And here they are up 2-0 as we speak today. One thing, though, that does cross my mind is when you think, oh, no, if Houston goes to the World Series, bad for baseball. That's your kind of your gut instinct. But really, I also thought about it when if they go against the Dodgers in the World Series, isn't that kind of the best scenario for baseball?
Yeah.
If the Dodgers beat them, that's the ultimately the best scenario. But in terms of eyeballs and in interest, who is not going to watch that series?
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be it might go down as one of the highest rated series, World Series, in many years if it's the Dodgers and the Astros, right?
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know how many you don't want to probably throw in many beanballs in the World Series, but, you know, maybe if you're up, you might see some balls heading towards the Astros' way. But that's my thing. Let's just say that scenario happens. I know they got to win this next game, of course. They get down 3-0. I don't think it's, you know, going to happen. But let's just say they win that series, and then they beat the Dodgers. Do the Dodgers fans tip their cap, or are they still mad about the cheating year, you know? So that's going to be the interesting outside narrative of this all is, and I think that's what's motivating the Astros is like, hey, a couple guys may have tipped some pitches. I'm not giving them any credit, by the way, but some guys may have been doing this trash can thing, but we really didn't need it. I don't know why we did it. Let's prove to everybody that we're good enough to do it.
Yeah. And that's what's motivating them right now is that we are a really good team despite that. Yeah, sure, we got an advantage, but everybody gets an advantage, I think, is their thinking, is that there's been plenty of cheaters all throughout baseball history. Why are we any different? Why are we singled out?
I would love to see the documentary 20 years from now where these guys could speak candidly on it, too, because there's going to be somebody on that team that will cash in. May not be the Correas or the Springers or the, you know, Bregmans of the world, but maybe like the guys that are like the eighth, ninth, you know, that don't play much may cash in and tell it all. I want to know about.
Well,
I want to
know.
See that.
I mean, Mike Fiers is a former Astros pitcher, is the reason why we all know about this. So, and he even got, you know, and we saw the flack he got from people who maybe agreed that, oh yeah, what the Astros did is wrong, but what Mike Fiers did was also wrong. Which,
right.
You know, yeah. But it would be a wild scenario if they got in. But as of right now, that doesn't look to be the case. It looks like Tampa Bay, one of the most balanced teams in all of baseball. There's not a clear-cut star on this team. Maybe Tyler Glasnow, maybe Blake Snell, maybe Brandon Lau. But I think if there's anybody making a case to be the star of the Tampa Bay Rays, it's Randy Arozarena, which is a complete shock, I think, to even people who were following the Rays. And he had a very good season this year. It is still his rookie year. And this is a guy who I was looking up his cards. If you take a look here, if you're watching us, I don't think he has a first Bowman. I was trying to find it.
Yeah.
Like, does this guy have a first Bowman? He defected from Cuba. So he may have just gone completely under the radar for years. Originally with the St. Louis Cardinals, traded to Tampa Bay. For Jose Martinez was really the marquee.
And Liberatore was, right, I think, a first rounder for the Rays.
Yeah, Liberatore was traded to the Cardinals in that deal. And yeah, it was Jose Martinez was the marquee name headed back to Tampa. Arozarena was kind of a throw in. And lo and behold, we talked about it at the beginning of the postseason. Who's the next Juan Soto? Who's the guy, the young player who comes out of nowhere and is the hero of the postseason? Arozarena wasn't even on the list. He wasn't even in the same hemisphere as these guys we were talking about. But you see right now, as I got this graphic up, all of his cards that have sold recently for big numbers, all within the last week. Arozarena fever has caught on in the baseball card hobby real fast.
Yeah, and one thing that's interesting is I looked it up too, because you see his Topps Chrome card selling for a lot. And the cards that he's pictured at the Rays are selling for more than I would have imagined at this point. Even some of his five-star auto, over $100. I mean, I think there was one that was like 122 with a couple of days left. But I went and I looked at his first Bowman, and I can't believe I didn't remember this because I was part of the Topps Million Card Rip Party, so I probably seen about 85 of these cards, was his base card, is on. So his rookie base card in regular Topps is part of Series 1, but he's on the Cardinals at that point because probably Topps printed in the offseason. Obviously, it was too late to switch it. Those are only going for like a couple bucks. So you compare that to a Ronald Acuna, who's going for like $200, or a Soto that's $200, and you know some of these other guys that are going for a lot more. And I'm like, are collectors not buying this card because he's on the Cardinals? But yeah, that is his flagship top. So I'm wondering if there's money to be made in that area, or are collectors just like, you know what, this isn't even his rookie card anymore because he's on the Cardinals. So very kind of confusing that he switched so quickly and then had so much success to really pinpoint which card is going to be considered his best, because you also have all the versions of the Topps Chrome Sapphire, the Topps Chrome Ben Baller. It'll be something interesting to follow. That maybe we can follow up next week where we'll have more data. And they may be out at that point, or they may be moving on. And we'll see where collectors have kind of decided which way to go.
Yeah, and I think it's definitely the way it's going right now. He's the playoff MVP for this team. Yep. He has been probably across the board the best hitter all around in the postseason for any of these teams. It's a pretty incredible story to watch, especially for a team that I think really prides itself on not being a team that focuses on one guy and one player. Mm-hmm. But he has been the focal point for Tampa Bay, and it's been really fun to watch. And that's what makes the postseason so much fun, is that you absolutely never know who's going to break out. And you know what, though? If you're a Tampa fan, you probably knew that there was a chance this guy could break out. Love to see what he could do in a full season. Still got a lot of career left. I think he's just 25 years old, so there's a lot of time to grow for him here for Tampa Bay. And, yeah, very excited to see what he can do. And, the other guy I was thinking of, I think Trent Grisham has some rookie cards that are like Milwaukee and with San Diego.
Yeah.
So that's kind of
very
the only
similar
guy I can liken him to in terms of the hobby. But, it's an interesting case right now for a Rosarena to not see this coming by a country mile. It's pretty crazy.
I honestly didn't even know how to pronounce his name until the weekend. So
most of baseball probably did it.
I was calling him Arizarena or something like that. Nobody corrected me, so obviously nobody knew the name either. So, but now that he's on the main stage, that's the beauty of this all, is that, you know, similar to a Giannis, you know, where nobody knew how to say his name, but obviously when they get good enough, then you know how to say their name. So
that's the sign right there. I can tell you, yesterday, I think it was a Topps Chrome set or maybe Stadium Club that was breaking, and I must have gotten at least four or five of Rosarenas and went, man, that's pretty
good.
Was
he on the Rays in those ones?
Yeah, he's on the Rays. Yeah. So I thought, man, they're all rookie cards. So they weren't counting on him becoming the postseason hero because they were pretty common. But
well, and one of the funny things, and you probably didn't pull an auto, but I think there's a couple sets, maybe even Stadium Club, where his base card's Rays, but his autograph is Cardinals, because obviously trying to acquire the autograph is a longer process. So they print those cards up, have them sign it maybe 8 months ago, 10 months ago, they get it all signed, and then obviously they're not going to destroy them because they've paid the athlete to be on that card. So they insert them. So now you have which I didn't even think about. I posted that Stadium Club break for you, and then the first two teams at like $25 to sell were the Rays and the Cardinals, and I was like, that's why.
People want them. A Rosarena fever has caught the lobby by storm, and I don't think anyone saw this coming. So
usually it's like Yankees or Dodgers or White Sox, and it's like, Cardinals, Rays. Oh, that's right.
It's just one guy. Yep. It's pretty incredible what's happening there. That's going to wrap it up for us this week. But before we go, real quick, the next time we talk, we're going to be in the World Series. So who do you think we're going to be talking about, Doug?
You know, I still think it's going to be Dodgers. I think they, one game slip up, I think it's going to motivate them. I think it's going to be Dodgers in six. I want to see the Astros, what we talked about, but I think it's going to be the Rays.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the Rays are going to end up sweeping this series. I think the Astros, it's, I guess for them, it's been a nice story to overcome the odds as they see it. But I think this is a sweep. Also, just the worst luck. I love Dusty Baker. I really do. He's one of my favorite guys in baseball. And part of me is like, oh man, I wish I could see Dusty finally win a World Series.
But yeah.
Oh no, 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 not like that. Please, not like that. Not with the Astros.
I know. He is cursed. I mean,
it's a thankless job, you know, and it's only a guy like him could take that and be like, that's fine. I'll do it, you know. And
God, there would be so much pressure. I mean, how many World Series has he lost? I think,
he's only been to what, one?
So. Well, he was in the Cubs. Well, was that the World Series?
That was NLCS.
So he's only been to one. He was with the Giants. But, yeah, how many playoff teams has he taken that have been the best team? And then, I mean, obviously this isn't the best team, but, you know, he had the Nationals. He's had the Phillies. He's had the Cubs. I mean, it's just get there and then just somehow lose in the playoffs. So.
Yeah. Yeah, it's unfortunate. But, yeah, I think it's going to be Tampa. I think they end up sweeping this thing. They're just too good. And I think the Braves' luck is fine, or the Astros' luck, I should say, has already run out. And I think it's going 7 for the NLCS. I really do. I think these are two really evenly matched teams. But ultimately, I think the Dodgers are the better team. If the pitching is an issue, which it may be, I mean, this Braves pitching has been incredible. But I also think that's another one where the luck's got to run out at some point.
Yeah.
They were not this good all season long. Maybe these young guys are just coming into their own, and great, that'd be great for them, but I just don't really see that lasting a full game, 7
and
games.
Tampa here, so. Did not, because of the way the schedules, they didn't play the Astros, right?
No. Both of these teams have not played each other other than, or all four of these teams have not played each other other than the series that are happening right,
right.
Now.
So that's an interesting dynamic too, where you've got some guys that maybe, you know, have no reps against any of these
right.
pitchers, any of these players, so definitely speaks to the COVID year.
Yeah. Absolutely. So there you go. If you're, it sounds like it's going to be Dodgers Rays, but considering our luck with picks here and there, I think it's going to probably end up being Braves Astros when it's all said.
Right.
Done.
Exactly.
Yeah. We'll see. Well, until next time, make sure to subscribe to us if you're watching us here on Mojo Break Media. Hit that subscribe button, hit the bell, and for more of our content. And then, of course, go over to Mojo Break Card Shop. We got plenty of stuff coming that. And our main feed, Mojo Break, where you've got all of your live breaks as usual. Until next time, for Doug, I'm Cody. We will talk to you next time on the Mojo Break Dugout Session.